Hi, I'm Ashley Bell, State and Community BC Policy Manager for the American Heart Association and Voices for Healthy Kids. And there's all of my contact info, and then I don't have anything to disclose. And the only thing I will say is that I, for the large majority of my work, am a lobbyist. I'm not currently registered in any states, but most of what I talk about is public policy change, and it's the big P policy change that that was sort of gone over in terms of bills and executive orders. So let me just talk a little bit about the American Heart Association's history of our approach to procurement. So when I say procurement, for purposes of this presentation today, what I'm talking about is healthier foods and beverages being purchased by the state or by the local government for employees to be served in vending machines in their buildings. So I know procurement has a wide variety of definitions, and it's not the best one for this. In fact, amongst us, we've been sort of talking about, well, should we find a better term for this? Because clearly, if we say procurement, people go, huh? So what we're talking about is healthier foods and beverages on state or local government properties. You may have noticed that Julia referenced Katie. Katie referenced me, or actually Jennifer, on Katie's behalf. So the three of us do work together very closely through a variety of projects and contracts that we have ongoing. So the Heart Association and Voices for Healthy Kids and the Public Health Law Center and CSPI all work very closely together. So just wanted to say that out front. So in terms of the Heart Association, what we've worked on previously, we really started our work with trying for healthier foods and beverages with sponsors and vendors that we worked with. I mean, you may know that the Heart Association has fundraising events. We have heart walks and sponsors and galas and Go Red for Women events. And so the first sort of constituency we worked with on procurement policy was actually those sponsors, and this was an opportunity for us to work directly with the folks who were already donating to us, but we wanted to provide something back for them. And so one of the things that we thought we could provide was an opportunity for them to make healthier choices, easier choices for their employees. And so that was sort of the beginning of our work, and that's been, 10 years or so ago now. And then the work with community organizations has really started in the past 4 or 5 years, and that really is our Health Equity and Multicultural Initiative staff. So staff who work in partnership with churches or sororities or community colleges, things like that, that they're working with their constituents to make healthier choices in those facilities. So it might be even a program of going in and changing vending machines within a church. And so that's really a programmatic type approach. And then the third way that we've worked in this area is in the realm of public policy change, and that's really more my expertise. And that's really been in the past 4 years. We've had a pretty concerted effort to work towards passing a comprehensive policy of some sort that would impact all vending machines in a local government. If you were in a city, all vending machines in that local government property, including their parks, including their Department of Health, that would be sort of a big P policy change that we would be working on, or at the state level as well. Now we've actually moved into a little bit different work, because we received funding from Robert Johnson Foundation to create this project, Voices for Healthy Kids. And so it's a joint initiative between HA and Robert Johnson. And we're really working to try and reverse the childhood obesity epidemic in this country. It's a unique collaboration that allows us to leverage our collective resources to try and strengthen and support advocates working already in public policy change or in reducing childhood obesity. We're working to advance evidence-themed and evidence-informed childhood obesity policy change. So, and that's sort of where we're making a transition here. One other disclaimer I should say is that none of the funds received for Voices for Healthy Kids can be used for lobbying, so I should be very clear about that. We do have some lobbying resources available, but those are all specifically from the American Heart Association, so let me just be clear about that. So when we were setting up Voices for Healthy Kids, we had a discussion about how to choose the policy areas we wanted to work in. And so this is just a little bit of the background on how we got to what policy areas we're going to work in, how we decided that procurement was going to be one of those areas. One of the things, as a lobbyist for the American Heart Association, in my field work when I was a government relations director for the Heart Association, I love the fact that the policy change I was going in to passionately advocate for with a legislator or with the governor's office or with a city council member was something that was really clearly based in science. That's been one of the great things for me about being able to really talk about a policy change that we know has an ability to really make a health impact. And so for Voices for Healthy Kids, as we were choosing our policy levers there, we actually most of what we were looking at is based on this one specific paper. So population approaches to improve diet, physical activity, and smoking habits, a scientific statement from the American Heart Association, which basically said that poor lifestyle behaviors, including suboptimal diet, physical inactivity, and tobacco use, are leading causes of preventable diseases globally. And so this was sort of the background of, here's the science, what sort of issues do we want to work in with these resources that we've received from Robert Johnson Foundation. And so what we ended up deciding to do was aligning our work into six hubs, and this is just a little bit of background about the project, about the Robert Johnson Foundation-funded project, Voices for Healthy Kids. And this shows the six hubs that we set up, and the one that's highlighted is the Marketing Matters Hub. So what we were able to do in setting up these six hubs is that we were able to create really clear partnerships with some organizations that have been mentioned today, but are also were already seen as experts in each of these fields. And so that gave us an opportunity to be able to start to speak with one voice with some folks who are already working very clearly in these policy areas. And so the Marketing Matters Hub is the one that procurement fits into. These are the three policy levers, we call them, that are within that Marketing Matters Hub. And so for purposes of today, the third one there is the one that we're focused on, healthy food procurement on government property. And then these were the three policy levers that are within that. So as we were talking about what is the policy change we want to see with regards to procurement, how do we want to work, how do we want to go about working in these areas, what specifically do we want to shoot for here? And what we ended up deciding was that we could sort of break the procurement work down into three different categories of places that changes could be made. So if you choose to work in just vending machines, if you're just talking about vending or things that are not sort of prepared and served meals, that was one area that we were looking at. And then service, it would be anything that would be prepared and served or brought in for a meeting. That's a big part of, you know, meetings at the State Department of Health or meetings at our offices. I know one of the most critical parts is the ordering of lunch, you know. So I know that's something that was really important for all of us. So that fits within service. And then the third one is institutional feeding or the feeding of custodial populations. And so this actually came as a result of, was mentioned by my colleagues, the work that they did in the District of Columbia. You know, one of the things that they were working on when they were trying to get a comprehensive procurement policy passed for the District of Columbia and all the buildings that would be impacted there was that when they ended up being able to see an opening for including the procurement policy change within the state budget, when it came back from the budget office, it basically said there's a huge fiscal note associated with this because if we have to make these changes for all of the populations that we're responsible for feeding, it's going to make a huge difference for us. And so that was actually what triggered us to go, custodial populations or institutional feeding maybe need to be put in a separate category because that's really a different, even though it's the same kind of policy changes, are really a totally different population for people that have no choice. I mean, that, you know, are being fed by the city or state government. And so that's a little bit about the three policy levers there. Just I should highlight that the three sets of standards we suggest using are the American Heart Association's, the GSA HHS standards, which have already been mentioned, or NANA standards, which also have already been mentioned. So what we found is that there is significant interest in this work. You know, public health officials and elected officials really see this as a way that they can make changes for the populations that they feel responsible for. And so it's become a very popular issue area. We work very closely with our government relations staff. The Heart Association has about 90 government relations staff across the country at this point. And they are responsible for working with the elected officials in their state or their local community. And we do an assessment with them every year of what are the issue areas that you see being most popular. Procurement was the second most popular issue area across the country in all states and local communities that they have interests either from volunteers who want to work on this issue area, or they have interest from public officials who want to work in this issue area, or the lobbyist themselves has gone, we're going to work on this. So that was really interesting because the American Heart Association has a huge, broad policy agenda. There's so many different things incorporated there, but to have this be, excuse me, sorry, just knocked the microphone, to have this be one of a really popular policy area was really exciting for us. The other big thing is the potential for downstream impact of a change like this, because in most cities or states, the state or county government or city government is actually the largest purchaser of food. And so if they're making that change and they're requiring that their vendors comply, there's a pretty significant opportunity for impact in terms of the foods that are available then broader in the community. And so that's another really big reason that we think this is an important place to work. And then the other thing is that, the other opportunity is that this allows for local communities to do the work, states to do the work, counties. There are just so many different sort of policy opportunities to work in here. And so that's been really exciting as well. So let me just talk just briefly about some of the successes we've seen. Obviously, District of Columbia was mentioned. Jennifer, as Katie's stand-in, was modest on Katie's behalf because CSPI was a huge part of why that was so successful. The Heart Association and CSPI have been working in D.C. for about 3 years to get that passed. And the D.C. procurement policy that's just passed, that just went into effect, it's in the state, we went in the city council budget, is a really great comprehensive policy for all vending, meetings, service. You know, the only thing that it was really exempted was those custodial populations, and they're interested in going back and working on that. So then these active state campaigns were actually through an assessment that the Heart Association did, where we found that we have a staff person who's working in partnership with somebody in their state health department or with an elected official to work on these. So I'll just call out New Orleans since we're here. New Orleans, as Julie mentioned in her presentation, had already done an executive order and had implemented it, but they gave themselves a year to go back in and boost it back up if they saw things they wanted to change. And so that's actually happening now. So the executive order is actually going to be redone, and the standards are going to be redone in December of this year. So that's an example of, and frankly, that's probably the most popular policy change area we've seen, is in the passing of an executive order by either a city manager, county manager, a mayor's office, or a governor, and then setting the standards after that. And so that's given a lot of opportunity because so many places have already started doing that, that they can now, our staff go back in and sort of work to make them even stronger. And I see a colleague from Baltimore in the audience, and I know that that's one of the things that they've been working on in Baltimore. They did an initial executive order. They did a set of standards. They gave themselves a little while to see how that went, and then they wanted to go back in and see if there was anything they wanted to tweak. So wide variety of resources to support this work. NANAs were mentioned on the CSPI website. The CDC has a toolkit of resources in support of the federal guidelines on their website, and then the Heart Association has our supportive guidelines on our website. And then the other thing that I should mention pretty quickly here, because I realize I'm about out of time, is that the American Heart Association, through Voices for Healthy Kids, actually has some funds available to work in this area. So if you work with a coalition and you have at least in your coalition the ability to do some lobbying, then you have the opportunity to apply for funds to support work in procurement change. And let me just go to the next slide, which shows all the contact info. The other thing I would say is that if you are interested in working in this in your state or local community, please reach out to your American Heart Association staff person, because they've already told us they're going to work on it in most cases. So if you have an interest, definitely reach out to them. And really, you can just go to heart.org and advocacy and find, but the website is in there. So you know, resources for Voices for Elderly Kids, and then the Heart Association can also support, and we do have some funds for lobbying. So, and I think that concludes my remarks.